Blog Talk Radio.
Well, my brothers and sisters, we're back. Yes, indeed, we're back again. Back again for another episode. Another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel. Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I am your host, Edemiah, of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. So very, very thankful. Yes, indeed, very thankful to the Most High. The opportunity, yes, indeed, for the opportunity. Be back with you here again, yes, to speak these very precious words. Yes, these very precious words. The Most High has granted me. Yes, the Most High has granted me for the blessing of His people. The Most High has told me, yes, indeed, He has told me, that I have some very important things for His cause to do. And unto that cause, my brothers and sisters, I welcome you to the show. And I thank the Most High indeed for every ear. Yes, I thank the Most High for every ear that He brings near. The Most High has told me, yes, He has told me that I have Him some very important things for Him to do. Very important things for His cause, the cause of His people to do. And thankfully, my brothers and sisters, he told me that in doing for him that which he has asked of me, he said to me that I would accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But he told me that in doing for him that which he has asked of me, he also said to me, I would have his protection, his guidance. But that can only be utmost thankful. The Most High has told me, yes, indeed, he has told me that I must tell you things. He said to me, indeed, I must tell you things. That men have done everything they could, yes, even since the dawn of human fall, to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and if they could, I said, if they could, my brothers and sisters, to destroy. But my brothers and sisters, I can only tell you that the Most High shall perform all that which he has spoken. His word shall not return to him void. The Most High has surely promised a time. Yes, he has surely promised a time that he would bring forth what is called the times of refreshing. The times of the remembrance of all things that he has spoken, even according to all that he has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. Let us then trust, my brothers and sisters, that the Most High has promised and foreordained such a time. Because the truth of the matter is that his covenant being an eternal one, I repeat, his covenant being an eternal one, one true to all that he has spoken, all that he has spoken, even unto all who were called unto faithfulness before him. His covenant, my brothers and sisters, yes, his covenant is true to all that he spoke to the ancient patriarchs, all the ancient prophets, all the ancient apostles. His covenant is true, my brothers and sisters, throughout the course of ages. The word that he spoke from the beginning is a common covenant to all who would attain the same inheritance. For there is no contradiction, no oppression, no contention, no difference of opinion, no presumptuousness, no misimagination in the coming kingdom of Yah. And the Most High desires his soul. That all those who have ever been faithful unto him, hear me, that they all must be true to the fullness of his word. All agreed. No, my brothers and sisters, I would seek to dispel the myth that is plagued the minds of so many. Most High said he is Rishon Acharon, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. His word from the beginning is eternal. There's no contradiction in it throughout the course of all ages. Most High made this world with a plan in mind. And my brothers and sisters, he has not departed from the hope of that plan. Here, my brothers and sisters, what does this mean? For the course of many ages, men have walked after all manner of diversely differing ideals. But it must be understood, though men, through the course of ages, the result of a fall, hearkening to what their eyes see and what their ears hear, rather than the truth of Yah, men have indeed trusted in the variant constructs of men. So he said, the Messiah will not judge what his eyes see or what his ears hear, or the breath of his lips, the spirit of his mouth, the testimony of his lips. After conscience that is after the spirit of the One Most High, shall he expose all wickedness, every misconceit, every lie. Whatever it is, that is the result. a man having not hearkened fully enough to the will of Yah. Most High one time told me, that all is required if there were no devil, is for man be left without the discipline of the Most High. So surely, the refining grace of the Most High is his gift. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. It is his gift where man should begin to discern, seek, and pursue everything in his heart. The true word, the true inspiration, the true vision, aspiration, vision, and dreams of a people the Most High has called. Must seek after inspiration of the one Most High, my brothers and sisters, in order to discern after the Spirit beyond the ordinary senses, beyond what seems wise to the perceptions of carnal flesh. I remember when long ago, my brothers and sisters, when Most High first called me aside under the hearing of his voice. I remember one of the first things he told me. He said, hearken to him. Or he said, someone would make a fool of you. He told me, whatever I hear, whatever I see, read, or in any way, but otherwise perceived from men. He said, check it out with them first. He said, someone would make a fool of me. He said to me, some of the biggest lies have been told to hide the greatest truths. He said, every lie a man believes is an obstacle against discerning the greater truths. I can only say to you, my brothers and sisters, that every misrepresentation, that men have trusted in and called a Savior, every diverse denomination, every diverse nation, every man of diverse rule, political, social, national, cultural, it doesn't make any difference. Every single one of them that has claimed to offer men salvation after a false sense of righteousness falling short of what the Most High intends has been the tribulation. Yes, my brothers and sisters, turmoil, the misallegiance, even damnation of many souls over the course of many ages. We will examine shortly how the scriptures tell us that no lie, nor shall any liar enter the kingdom of the Most High. What does this mean? 45,000 denominations, all claiming to be the righteousness of Yah. What does the word righteousness mean? What about the word gospel? Does it say anywhere in the scriptures that righteousness can be found if a man in any way denies the law of the prophets? In fact, the scriptures say that if you break one law, you're guilty as to the whole law. Whoever would keep the law of the one Most High is obligated to uphold the whole law. What are these scriptures saying? Should man say he reveres the Most High according to pick and choose personal ideals? Or Does not that word obligate man? Yes, it does. Because the scripture says man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of Yah. Scriptures tell us in Deuteronomy, talking about Matthew 4 and 4. Deuteronomy 29, 30 and 8. Reveals that the secret things belong to the Most High. But that those things which he has revealed belong to us. Then obligation for people who would be a living record. Or divine decree in there. It belonged to us, an obligation for us to preserve, protect, defend, guard, preserve, remember, obey forever. Scripture tells us in the last days, though we have been scattered among many nations, having endured the curse of being scattered among the nations, divided, my brothers and sisters, after short-sighted allegiances, whereby men have dared to call themselves free. I said, dared to call themselves free, though they've been bewitched into claiming the Most High, or let's just say claiming that they have allegiance to the Most High, while they've hearkened to preachings that have sought to keep the Most High, and even if they could, all his people constrained in the cages of an adversary's snare. What do I mean by that? Men have taught a false concept of the Messiah, a false concept of the Father, constrained within the cages, misallegiances, strengths, and contentions. A multitude of diverse nations who by no means have been the embodiment, nor have they in any way been the righteous representation, if you will, the bastion of peace. By no means, my brothers and sisters, can man say that the multitude of diverse contentions, diverse ideologies, diverse beliefs, adversarial tendencies of man. Let no man say, my brothers and sisters, these came about as a result of man being led by the one Holy Spirit. Certainly not, my brothers and sisters, by the word of a pure and perfect holy testimony. Many have lived and died and the snares of what is presently these, as the scriptures say, times of the Gentiles, blinded after various constraints, living and dying, never knowing what is the fullness of the righteousness of Yah when we bring to bear a holy kingdom. If men had already known these truths to the fullness of what is divine intent, my brothers and sisters, men perhaps could have gathered together and stood as true to the will of one. But my brothers and sisters, dare men believe that men living and dying, claiming to know the Most High, pretending to know the Most High, while still caught in the snares of so much debate and doubt. Shall it be, my brothers and sisters, that this pretense could be the salvation of any man? Think about it. 2,000 years ago, when many knew suddenly that they had to conform to the way of the One Most High, knowing that what scriptures say in the book of Revelation, you might know that's one of the books that came much later, but the scripture said those who believe lies should be damned, in 2 Thessalonians. Revelation says that Without the kingdom are all those who love to tell lies. Knowing that by no means is man saved after his double-mindedness, resistance against the truth, nor is he delivered by unbelief. How shall man function after unbelief, refusing to believe, unwilling to believe the truth of the Most High, and say that he has known him? Something to think about, my brothers and sisters, indeed. But men have taught under social constraints, national constraints, believing all manner of different ideologies and called it freedom of religion. Living in a society that has been so confused in its differences and commanding that men accept these differences as part of their duties as citizens. And still believe, my brothers and sisters, that in a society that would confuse man and ask that men trust in a multitude of differences, they compel men to believe that this is what genuinely can be called religious freedom. They say you are only a good citizen if you accept the confusions of men. Think again, my brothers and sisters. Do you really believe that if a man has given his allegiance, say, to one nation and another to another, and they both confess the name of the Most High, that after the variant ideas of two nations at war, like I said, two nations at war, one says he believes, another says he believes in one nation, another says he believes in another. Do you really believe, my brothers and sisters, that they kill each other? They both go to the same place. What is it, my brothers and sisters, they've sworn themselves to? That their warfare against one another should bring about such grave consequences. Do you really believe, my brothers and sisters, that one man belongs to, has given himself in allegiance to one denomination and another to another, and the doctrines do not match? How shall men say that they have a covenant? I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, the scriptures, when it talks about salvation by faith, that's definitely not according to any of the diverse standards of men. Two opposing views, my brothers and sisters, not faith, it's debate and doubt. Dare men believe that men have sworn by the name of the Most High in every manner of denominational differences of belief? And still, in the judgment, shall be found to have believed the truth? Think about it, my brothers and sisters. Think about it. Think about it. Shall man trust in a misrepresentation wrought after them? False doctrines of men? And still be said to have believed, trusted, obeyed the One Most High? There's a reason why the apostle Shaul said, if any man believe any other word or preaches any other word as if it were the gospel, said, let him be accursed. The gospel is the whole complete word of the Most High beyond all the partial standards of men. The gospel, my brothers and sisters, like the Most High, has no opposition, no contradiction, no misopinion in it. Scripture says, comfort ye, O my people. What do you think the Holy Spirit does? It says, comfort ye, O my people, for the days of your warfare must come to an end. How shall it be that the Spirit of the Most High, called the Comforter, should preserve any of those ideals of zeal, zealous ideals of man that have caused men to argue or in any case go to war or in any case, my brothers and sisters, believing a lie defy the truth of the One Most High? Because what else do you think a lie does? Do you really believe that one can believe a lie and not be found defiant against the Holy One? Shall one say that he learned that lie from Yah? Think about it. Scripture says those who are led by him, these are the sons of Yah. By whom is it, my brothers and sisters, men have been taught lies that they have differences of belief? I think about it sometimes that those who teach your pastors in various seminary schools, you think they're concerned about what denomination those pastors will preach under? Believe me, I know, I've seen it myself. That I've seen pastors send out resumes about to graduate from seminary school. I saw one pastor in particular, and he looked like he was he was about to send out resumes to probably some 50-odd denominations. What even was even more shocking, the idea about, hey, sending out resumes for his wife. And they didn't even want to be in the same denomination because they didn't want to be in the same church because they wanted two separate paychecks. From the top to bottom, my brothers and sisters, you need to understand that these institutions are concerned about the truth. And one pastor told me straight out, he said to me, don't you know, for them, it's not about what the Bible says. He said it's about them learning a profession. If you think about it, my brothers and sisters, that fits just right. Just right for those who, my brothers and sisters, don't care about the sanctity of a soul, but are more concerned, my brothers and sisters, about their pocketbooks. A lot I can say about that. But I'd like to get on. I'd like to get on the testimony that needs to be spoken tonight. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. Scriptures tell us at 2 Thessalonians that there must be an end. If we understand the scripture well, there must be an end of the pretenses, the men of appeal. Again, at 2 and 8. 2:8, 2 Thessalonians. It says, then shall that wicked one be revealed, exposed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. That scripture comes out from Isaiah. Amazingly enough, that's a scripture, my brothers and sisters, from Isaiah 11 chapter. Those who know the truth about this scripture, it talks about one who comes a second time, hey, to do something he did before in terms of having regathered all Israel out from Babylon, out from the confusions of the world. And the way the scriptures are written, my brothers and sisters, means we gather his people from all the four directions of the earth. The Messiah did that 2,000 years ago, or was Israel scattered 2,000 years ago? Which one? Which one? And if we read those scriptures closely at Isaiah 11, knowing the 2 Thessalonians speaking of future tense, we understand these scriptures, my brothers and sisters, are indeed really relative to scriptures that are Isaiah 11 through 14th chapter, speaking about latter-day prophecy. Did you notice the scripture says that a strong illusion would come right there in the midst of the churches? And the scripture says, let me find it for you directly, at 2 Thessalonians. Say, because many did not have a great love of the truth. I'm talking about 2:10. Because many had not a great love of the truth, they might be truth, they might be saved, made whole, made pure, made true in all things for the Most High. So the Most High shall send upon those who had not a love of the truth. How about my brothers and sisters were double-minded, half-hearted, not concerned about the integrity of the Holy Name? You say, because they did this, for this offense, this cause, this offense. How about this insult against the opportunity to see the greater truth? That those, my brothers and sisters, the Most High said he would allow upon them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness, prefer the lie? If salvation is by faith, my brothers and sisters, how shall men say that trusting in illusion or any misrepresentation or any misadministration still counts them the servants of Yah? Think about scriptures like those in Revelation. Revelation, the 22nd chapter. It speaks about those who will be allowed to enter the kingdom and those who will not. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. How about Revelation 22:14? Blessed are they who do his commandments. Notice he says at 22:13, I am the Alpha and Omega, the Aleph and Tau, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He is a constant. His word is always from the beginning to eternity true. Say, blessed are they who do his commandments, keep his commandments, do his commandments, preserve his commandments, maintain the integrity of the conscience that he reveals. Command that he opposed to all, that he opposed that all nations must discern and can be converted unto. He didn't say that the various standards of the nations that are already trusted would ever be salvation. Not unto his holy kingdom. Not unto his kingdom of truth. Men trust in a multitude of different kingdoms and allegiances, my brothers and sisters, because they have believed a lie. And none of those lies, my brothers and sisters, of this present age, in these present, scripture says, times of the Gentiles, that have blinded both Jew and Gentile, thus evoking a need for a Savior out of Zion. I'm talking about Romans 11:25-27. None of those systems then has been the truth worthy unto the kingdom. None of them then has preached the truth of the gospel. And the prophecies said in advance that your leaders would not speak these truths. Scripture said in advance that your leaders, my brothers and sisters, certainly would not find it to their advantage to speak these truths. Why? Because it means that their teaching, their teachings, as they teach them presently, even as we speak, have been lies, resistance against the truth, compromises, hypocrisies, after what is a controlled majority rule. By no means true to the will of one. Because remember the scripture says, broad is a road that leads to destruction. I would even say broad and many are the many roads that lead to destruction. But narrow, straight, even only one, is a road that leads to eternal life. And few there be that find it. What has made people believe that the mass conscience of a worldly status quo and all its differences is true to the Holy One? The one time told me directly, if I could believe that a multitude of contradictions are the work of his spirit, I cannot be a disciple unto him. My brothers and sisters, all who can believe that these contradictions are a work of the spirit, yes, they're someone's disciple. But my brothers and sisters, it's only unto unruliness, because such thinking is only trust in a devil, not the one most high. He said he's the Aleph and Tau, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they who do his commandments, they may have a right to the tree of life, and that they may enter into the gates of the city, holy city Jerusalem, that Messiah shall rule from upon his throne. Say, for without are the dogs and the sorcerers, the beasts, those who will not reason, those who love pretense and illusion, whoremongers, murderers, and idolaters, on whoever loves to make a lie. It doesn't sound here, my brothers and sisters, like those who love to make or tell lies shall enter the kingdom of Yah. Scripture tells us again and again, the one the Most High sends, one is called the written offspring of David, the bright morning star, comes because the Most High is sick of hearing them. Did you hear me? I said sick of hearing the lies. Vexed, zealous, to hear from the mouths of his people and the hearts of his people a word of truth. Faith, my brothers and sisters, in the truth. To obey and oblige and love the truth. That's what gains the favor of the Most High. The man might be taught to be made whole, to be made true in agreement, pure and complete. All those will be found worthy to enter the kingdom of Yah. Yet amazingly enough, I find it surprising. Surprising that most have not considered that no one is delivered, my brothers and sisters, after a man-made concept of a savior. Do you think the Most High made these institutions that preserve so much ignorance? Do you think the Most High has exalted and delights in all these systems that teaching partialities and corruptions have taught men so much false pride that so many, if they heard the greater truths, would despise the hearing of them, even despise the appearing of Messiah himself, if it meant that they have to recognize themselves as having been deceived. May they not even discern, by and large, my brothers and sisters, the purpose for which Messiah comes. And it is surely, my brothers and sisters, that man might be delivered from every lie, that every man might discern indeed what is the truth. Yah so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whoever believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. He who loves the truth will come into the light, he said. But those whose works are evil despise the light, lest it be discerned that their deeds were evil. Who is it, my brothers and sisters, that wants to know the truth and wants to know genuinely what is an opportunity to repent? Well, I'd like to read another bit of scripture to you. Zephaniah. Scripture has much implication. Zephaniah, 3rd chapter, and the 13th verse. It says in this verse that the remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity. Well, that's a powerful thing. Shall do no iniquity, no injustice, no unrighteousness, nothing after the solutions of men, nor speak lies. Wow, powerful perception. Powerful attainment. The man has to learn how not to lie, my brothers and sisters, in a world that teaches so much misconceit. Think about it. Man conditioned after what he sees and what he hears is still functioning after the law or the flaw or the instability of the ordinary senses. Think about it. So often, many could witness an event, but depending upon the vantage point from which they saw it, sometimes men's testimony is different. Like I told you, the Most High told me, whatever you see or whatever you hear from men, you need to check it out with him, lest somebody make a fool of you. Well, think about it, my brothers and sisters. We live in a society where it was already said in advance that there's much truth, that the rulers would not speak. But those who are then, my brothers and sisters, left with only perceptions wrought after the flesh, a sense of experience and orientation, after the mere unction of the flesh, what are they then, my brothers and sisters, but innately in their short-sightedness, susceptible still yet to all manner of deceit? What the scriptures say, put upon yourself the whole armor of Yah. And it never said, my brothers and sisters, that the half-hearted, indulgent, or double-minded soul will ever gain the favor of the Most High to be taught fully what is necessary to be indeed made whole, confirmed, true, unto the one Most High. Hmm. Think about it. Think about it, my brothers. Just consider for a minute. Man needs the inspiration of the Most High to be in all things made true to him. Man needs the inspiration of the Most High to be true, as the scripture says in Ephesians, comprehending with all the saints what is the height, depth, and breadth of understanding, that we all come to full measure and stature of, yes, even Messiah himself. Read it. Ephesians 3rd to 4th chapters. How is it that I told you, my brothers, that you have to covenant, have a covenant, but not seeking the whole truth? I find this amazing. You know, I always said if you preach another word as if it was the gospel, as if it was the fullness of the pure, perfect truth necessary to make that one choice, not falling short. If any man preaches anything else, let him be accursed. But people call all these differences blessings. Abraham was told to walk after the Most High, seeking the fullness of his will, his perfect will. And that would be the blessing of the nation. Why do men believe the multitude of partial standards is still a blessing? Something's wrong. Desperately wrong with that. Side said, don't deny even the least of the law of the prophets. You shall in no case enter the kingdom of Yah. But men say they enter the kingdom of Yah after a multitude of partial standards. Simply because they pretended the standard they upheld was not partial, and that was the whole gospel. My brothers and sisters, 2,000 years ago, upon Messiah's resurrection, many had to come to the realization that they've been subject for a long time on the institutions of man, so inconsiderate of the righteousness of Yah, that they actually went as far as to crucify Messiah. But what kind of institution did that? We know that a few decades before the birth of Messiah, Rome came in and killed all the priests and set up a priesthood catering to Roman ideals, seeking to quell any revolutionary spirit among those who were being oppressed by a polytheist Roman empire. How can one be subject to a polytheist, double-minded system and still in allegiance to such a system, my brothers and sisters, be true to the one? It's simply not possible. But those 2,000 years ago realized too could wind up in antipathy against the Messiah himself if they did not exceed the unrighteousness of their leaders. They had to dispense with the pretense. Did you hear my brothers and sisters? They couldn't pretend that they were righteous anymore. He knew that the fatal flattery of their rulers was just that, damning and deadly. We live in a society today, 45,000 denominations across 280 nations. Who knows how many other religiosities have made a pretender that all these were that pure, perfect word, worthy to be called the gospel, worthy after which soul could be confirmed. It simply is not rational, my brothers and sisters. Some might seek political correctness, but what is politically correct is not mathematically rational. So the scriptures tell us the day comes, Zephaniah 3:13, that the remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouths, for they shall feed and lie down. How about, my brothers and sisters, they shall be upon their own land to partake of what is by inheritance rightfully their own. And none shall make them afraid. There shall be none to dissuade, none to destabilize the firmity, the absolution of the kingdom unto which they will be granted. So he says, sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all your heart. O daughter of Jerusalem, for the Most High shall take away. How about, my brothers and sisters, to a people who have become, who sought justice, he would take away their sentence, the record of their offense. And he shall cast out all those who would oppress them, all who would be their enemies, all who would oppress and seek to turn men toward iniquity. Because believe me, that's exactly what happens when you're scattered in somebody else's land. They put pressure on you. That's what's happened. The gospel has gone forth to the nations, but the rulers of the nations told the people that if unless they conform to the ideals of that particular nation in which they were scattered, they weren't worthy to be called partakers of any of the resources of that land. Scripture calls it the mark of the beast. It's time we understand, my brothers and sisters, that no untruth is going to entitle anybody to an inheritance in the kingdom of God. Most High, my brothers and sisters, speaks of a time when his people shall not see or be persecuted after having to follow after anyone's evil anymore. But how shall such a glorious thing as a kingdom, my brothers and sisters, so wise that no one speaks iniquity, no one speaks lies anymore, how shall it be, my brothers and sisters? It's obvious that such a kingdom has to overcome, in fact, be converted beyond every social misorder, every false sense of culture, very religion, misadministration, misrepresentation of this age. To come into a kingdom where no one speaks lies and all speak the truth and that all may agree. Yes, every contentious, misconceived, misopinion of all the nations must surely be overcome. And that's what scriptures mean when they say you must be born again. How can you say, man say he is born again after the Holy Spirit and say that he's still sanctions so many lies? The Holy Spirit relates also, my brothers and sisters, the work of Yah that imbues upon the heart a pure and holy testimony. Shall man still believe lies and say that he has been born of that Holy Spirit? That blasphemy, that insult against the holy name, my brothers and sisters, grants no one entrance in the kingdom of Yah. And since the kingdom, my brothers and sisters, that will speak no lies, do no iniquity, is one that must be converted beyond all the misconceits that have ensnared the minds of men, the first question men really should be asking is this: unto what and by whom? What made so pure and wise before the Most High can bring to bear a kingdom so gloriously wise that in it no one, my brothers and sisters, speaks or is beguiled by any lie? Think about what Yeshua said. He said, 14:6, Yohanan said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Dare men then still say they come into the kingdom of God, the ways, thoughts, traditions, diverse ideals, misopinions, lies that have divided the nation? I say things that have divided all the nation, divided this world. That men have thought themselves wise to seek to claim territory where they can continue to speak lies? I say, think again. It's the truth, my brothers and sisters. It's the truth that will make this world again one. What's the scripture saying? It says, they shall not hurt nor destroy anymore in all my holy mountain. In that day, my brothers and sisters, when the knowledge of Yah, the truth of the Most High, shall cover the earth, even as the waters cover the sea. Do men believe then, my brothers and sisters, in lies that shall make this covenant? Or is it the truth? It's the truth, my brothers and sisters, an awesome truth that the scripture said in advance that your rulers would not tell. That your rulers would deny, seeking to preserve their illusions over the minds of men as long as they can. Sadly enough, my brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, man has pretended and looked for shelter among those after which he could pretend to be truthful while still walking off after infirmities and compelling others to uphold the lie as well. Man can create all the idols he will, seeking shelter, my brothers and sisters, after misperception. But all he will ever do is destroy himself and others in so doing. It's time we understand that purity and completion offers one choice. So by what spirit then is it, my brothers and sisters, that this truth can come to bear beyond all these contentions and strife that presently remain among us? How should this ungodliness, when so many are so zealous for what they believe, how shall all this ungodliness has been taught among us, that men prefer, hey, I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, men have even gone as far as to, like scripture says, the priests teach for hire. Priests teach for hire, and the people love to have it so. The people don't see the injustice in it. So what would the Most High have to do to bring this, how about this pretense to an end? How should this ungodliness and love for lies be resolved? How should it be, my brothers and sisters, men should know that they must seek the truth and that the lie can only be to the damnation of the soul? What has to happen? Well, quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, when all men shall know absolutely that Messiah comes to put an end to the lie, then shall every man know to seek the truth beyond every misallegiance. Then shall they know that they must transcend the lives of all their rulers. Then shall they know that there was no profit, nothing to be gained in retaining the lie, but the damnation of a soul that has been instrumental unto the damnation of many other souls. So let us get a look at Zephaniah. Zephaniah, third chapter. What about Zephaniah, third chapter, my brothers and sisters, and the first verse? It says, woe to the filthy, polluted, and oppressive city. What is it talking about? It's a city that's like the city of Jonah, like Nineveh. Other scriptures speak about this in Obadiah, by the way. It says, woe to the filthy, oppressive city, the city of Jonah. Wow. A city that the Most High said he would destroy and sent Jonah to get this city, to testify to this city concerning its wickedness. Very much like Lot warned and Abraham warned Sodom and Gomorrah. Very much like Noah warned a world before the great flood. Like I said, Lot warned the city of Sodom and Gomorrah before the fire came down. But unlike the city of Jonah, Nineveh, which repented, this city, the scripture said, obeyed not the voice, obeyed not the warning. This city is prophesied, it's a latter-day prophecy. She received not discipline. She wouldn't hear discipline. She would not trust in the Most High, would not heed the warning, and would not seek to draw near to the Most High. Why, my brothers and sisters? Because they've been lied to and they've trusted in lies. Her princes within her are like roaring wolves, like roaring lions. Her judges are like evening wolves, and they wait not for the morning. My brothers and sisters, that means they seek to destroy men in their ignorance and the darkness of this present spiritual light. They destroy everything in their sight for their own purpose. See, her prophets are lawless and treacherous persons. Her priests pollute the sanctuary. They imagine wrong, yes, against the law of the Most High. But it says the righteous Holy One, the righteous Lord. How about the righteous one the scripture speaks of is likened to the rising sun. It suddenly comes to expose all the darkness, to reveal the light the world would obscure. Like I said, he comes because the leaders have imagined wrong against the law. The leaders have trusted after the mind of the flesh, and the leaders have been compelled to do so. Now, my brothers and sisters, is after the spirit of Yah, the man exceeds his carnality. The scripture says we walk after the flesh, merely what seems wise after the flesh, appeasing self, unguided, reprobate-minded. You see, we walk after the flesh, we die. But if we walk after the Spirit, we shall live. There's a difference between the law, as it's the sense of justice that a man has, after merely what he is oriented to, after group mind. All my brothers and sisters, I was talking to someone just earlier about how so often it has happened that many seem to lose all their senses in the midst of group hysteria, seeing people just all kind of ways rowdy to do some every unspeakable thing in the midst of a crowd. Blinded by what they see, my brothers and sisters. Deceived by the insanity of a wanton mind. It's almost like men trusting after what they see and falling in, and the devil just swoop in and just take the mind and conscience totally away. It's happened many times, my brothers and sisters. But we are supposed to have something within us to tell us something's wrong with that. This is what we're supposed to have as people of the Most High. Most High told me if I could look at all the contradictions that exist in the world and believe that they are a work of justice after His Spirit, He said I can be a disciple unto Him. We're supposed to have something in us that if we look around at all these contradictions, we should know that something about it must be a lie, and there must be something greater we must seek and pursue. But if we have less than that desire, worldly, Messiah said, I make no request for those such as this. Because how could they keep the commandments, keep and uphold the righteousness of Yah? What do they have in them who can be so easily sedated? What do they have in them, my brothers and sisters, that would bring them to the fullness of what is divine intent? But he says, in the midst of this city, the righteous one is in the midst of the city. He is one who will not do iniquity. Did we read something about that in 3:13? Remember, the Israelites should not do iniquity, they speak no lies. But the righteous, Lord, is in the midst of the city. He will not do iniquity. Every morning he brings his justice to light. He declares the truth. He even declares the truth to the world. What not? Most High sends prophets to speak with others. What not? What then are those others who won't stand up for the truth? Whose servants are they? Hear, O Israel, Most High, our Most High, the Shema is one. The word for hear is not just hear. It is to hear. It is to obey. It is to declare. Brothers and sisters, it's to guard and uphold. All that is necessary that all the people, after a pure, perfect word, regard the Most High as one, that we be a righteous example, having genuine love for Yah and love for our brother. Offer an example, my brothers and sisters, that none will be deceived by what he sees. For in the nation, my brothers and sisters, will all know the truth and walk after the truth. Even what they see, my brothers and sisters, at that time is a blessing. But he said, because this city did not listen. This city, the scriptures prophesy many times otherwise, relating it as a city that has all the illusions of a whole world in it. He says, because he has warned this city and they would not listen. Not only that, the scriptures prophecies say that he would destroy that city, but he began to cut off nations, leave their towers desolate, the streets waste, that none passes by. The cities, he said, he will destroy, so that in them no man, no inhabitant. Why? Most High wants the end of the lie. Did you hear me, my brothers and sisters? He wants the end of the lie. How shall men say they are saved by faith and a lie? It makes absolutely no sense. Lies against the Most High to misrepresent him, to capture men in bondage. That's what devils do. Revelation, my brothers and sisters, 16:12-21, talks about a city. It talks about because if you really knew what those scriptures mean when it says Armageddon, Harmageddon, hills of Megiddo, Harasheth of the Gentiles. Don't know what I'm talking about, you need to be looking at an article on my website called The Secret City Prophecies. You need to ask yourself a question, why is it that so many have ignored these scriptures? There's so much scripture that speak about this event over and over again. And I dare say, my brothers and sisters, that to deny any of the word of the Most High When the scripture says man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of Yah, deny any of his word is to fall short and be counted among those of unbelief. It's be counted unstable. Man can disavow, deny any of the word of the Most High. It is tantamount, my brothers and sisters, to insulting him and calling the Most High a lie in order to make yourself before others seem to be true. Such infirmity, my brothers and sisters, is not a true vow unto the Most High. Revelation 16:12-21 talks about one called the King of the East. That's what it really reads. For whom he will dry up the rivers. In other words, he'll show men beyond the boundaries of the mindscapes for the nations. One before whom he said that there will be, for those who will not listen, yes, indeed, a drying up of the rivers and drying up the pools. Let me tell you something. If you have no water, if nature itself revolts against you, what shall you do? My brothers and sisters, when the scriptures talk about in Zechariah that the nation that will not come to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, it means the nation that will not come for the remembrance of all the truth the Most High has spoken. The nation who will seek to deny that truth, not seek to keep the Shabbats according to the fullness of what the Most High intends as a covenant for all his people, are many great curses upon those nations. The scripture says the nation will not walk after what the Most High brings to Israel, restoring the light of the ages. It says that nation shall perish. 16:12, Isaiah. Zechariah, need to read around about 16:9-16, right up in there. 14th chapter, about 9-16 verse. Read all through there, my brothers and sisters, and understand the Most High wants an end to these lies. Isaiah 24 talks about a city of confusion that would be destroyed because they hearken not to the voice. Messiah said in Luke 17, it'd be like the days of Lot and Noah, a warning to the people because they did not listen. They asked him, where should this destruction be? He said, wherever the carcass is, there were the vultures gathered. Read the 17th chapter of Luke. You understand why the 18th chapter asked the question about the son of Messiah. Again, it's still talking about Messiah at a city. The 18th chapter is continued. It said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith in the earth? Remember all the prophecies, brothers and sisters. 25:1-10. Isaiah speaks the same thing. It speaks about a city that will be destroyed. A city that will be destroyed to show the Most High by no means anymore. Will have any form of patience anymore upon a place of lies. It talks about the destruction of that city. And the scripture says, because of this, the cities of the nation will begin to revere, respect the Most High. How about true to his name? Knowing that they could do nothing else if they wished to survive. Isaiah 25 goes on and says, in the day that that one comes, men who believe need no more trust and illusion. Say, this is the righteous one for whom they have waited, that they should rejoice and be made glad, even saved, be saved in his salvation, and he will wipe away all tears from off all eyes. Isaiah 27:9-12 verse talks about the destruction of the city as well. And it says the only atonement for mankind is the destruction of all these institutions of man that have preserved lives. What does the scripture say? He will destroy the temple. And yes, the temple is the mind and heart of man. Whoever destroys the temple, Yah will destroy. Whoever preserves the institutions of man, the false social coalescences of man, that pollute the minds and hearts of men. Scripture says that Yah will destroy. By what then, my brothers and sisters, shall men be brought to this certainty? Why the leaders not tell you? Isaiah 66 talks about the corruption among the churches. And again, it talks about suddenly a voice from the city, a voice from the temples, one that declares that there's been a great destruction and tumult at the city. Those who recognize the sign, it'd be like Israel suddenly reborn as if in one day. But my brothers and sisters, there are so many who say they are believers today. They deny that scripture. Who would dare to seek to cause men to believe that they have oneness, uniformity in the will of the Most High after so many diverse titles. And the scripture already said you should have no other, I hope you understand this, title but His. In other words, you shall avow yourselves to none else but He Himself. I know people sit back and talk about, well, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Presbyterian, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Hebrew Israelite. Let me tell you something. If you don't attain to what is worthy before the Most High to have the seal of the living Yah, to have it confirmed that what is in your mind and heart is true to Him, that He calls you by His name. Remember, the scripture said those who redeem had the name of the Father written upon their brows. If you don't attain to that truth, my brothers and sisters, you will have no protection from the wrath to come. You'll still be found among those who have not overcome the world, that are still after the marks of the beast, the standards of the irrational nations that refuse to reason as one. So I tell you, my brothers and sisters, granted the opportunity to see the truth, you should take the opportunity while you have the time. While opportunity presents itself, draw near to Him while He would draw near to you. Here, my brothers and sisters, I can only tell you what the Most High told me. He said to me that I have for Him some very important things for His cause, for the cause of His people to do. He told me because of what I must do, He said I'd accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemy. A prophet comes to speak what others would not. What it means, my brothers and sisters, since the Holy Spirit seeks to teach all things and the prophets should do the same, those who will not do that this are automatically classified before Yah as false prophets. Those who are the kingdom of Yah finding the truth, my brothers and sisters, delight in it. And quite frankly, understanding the need of our people to discern these things, they will allow nothing to keep their mouths silent. Not to speak the truth. They know they're people who should have a great curiosity and love of the truth. They would allow nothing to keep their mouths silent, for they know these words must be spoken. And they look for every opportunity to do so. That's the Shema, my brothers and sisters. Declare the truth, O Israel, that all might discern Yah is one. Like I said, a true prophet is sent to speak what others would not, and whoever would not speak these words, what good is their voice? Most High told me that I have some very important things for Him to do. He told me because of what I must do, He said I would accrue indeed some very powerful friends as well as enemies. Powerful, of course. He told me in doing for Him that which He has asked of me, I would have His protection and guidance. Most High speaks in the scriptures, Revelation 7, about 144,000. The one called the angel from the rising sun, translated still means king of the east. One who already has the seal of the Most High. The one that scriptures speak of saying in relative to Revelation 7 and 2, spoken of in Isaiah 48, going into Isaiah 49. Isaiah 48, like I said, has scriptures that directly corollary to 7 and 2. Talk about the angel from the rising sun, the king of the east will say, to the angels of wrath at a time when the kings are running for cover, saying, hide from the face of the Lamb and Him who sits upon the throne, meaning whoever trusts in those kings after those nations, oh, is in trouble too. He said, heard not the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, till we seal the servants of Yah upon their brows. In other words, my brothers and sisters, since Messiah comes to reveal the righteousness of the whole world is forgotten, it is only those who would trust in Him. I didn't say any former testimony. Seeming wise among men. Those who trust in Him, He will give them power to be called the sons of Yah. He will give them the truth, a foundation upon which they can genuinely grow and be disciples of Yah. Remember what I told you, most of I told you, if you believe all these contradictions, you can't be a disciple under Him. Isaiah 48 speaks of one come who must come. because men have sworn by the name of the Most High, but not in truth nor in righteousness. So he says for a moment through him, for those who would believe in him, who comes to expose all the lies of Babylon, to show men the way they should go, to show them how to remember what the Most High declared from the beginning that there might be peace. He said he comes because the Most High will not give his glory to another. He will refine his people. He will defer for a moment his anger while he grants them an opportunity to hear a word of truth. Scripture said that one will come forth saying, listen to me, O you isles, because there's no peace. There will be no peace to the lawless or those who would subdivide the law after some fallen standard of men. Dare men say that when Messiah comes, they can disavow anything that he said and still be called his servants, worthy unto his kingdom? Acts 3:18-23 says he comes for the restoration, restitution, refreshing of all things, according to all spoken by the mouth of the holy prophets since the world began. All things that Yah has spoken by the mouth of the holy prophets since the world began. And whoever will not hearken to that prophet should be cut off from among the people. Sounds so much like the scripture that says he gave his life to be Lord. And then it says in Romans, because we have to get past all disputation, purity and completion are from one choice. It says all that is written of old, whatever is written of old, is for our learning. We through patience and faith in the scriptures might have hope. That all might be like-minded, Jew and Gentile, obedient in word and deed. For all scripture inspired by the Holy Spirit, 2 Timothy. You need to read the 2nd through the 3rd chapter. It says, Most High will not deny himself, and you need to be complete unto all good works. Most High will not deny himself means that all scripture, and all scripture inspired by the Holy Spirit, is worthy for reproof and doctrine, for correction, my brothers and sisters, for everything that's contrary to sound doctrine. But he said the time would come when men would not hear sound doctrine, meaning there's been a lot of lies taught for a long time. And men have been complicit with those lies. And it means that truth for men to enter the kingdom of Yah must remember what this, let's just say, those after the mouth of this present age could not speak. It's that exceeding word, my brothers and sisters, that's most precious. It means you have to walk after what the Most High reveals by His Spirit. His faith comes by hearing a word from Yah. But I want to tell you what the Most High told me. He said to me that I must tell you things. He said, because I have some important things for him that I must do. He said, because of what I must do, he told me I'd have his protection and guidance. Well, he's going to talk about that 144,000 who have to be a light to the world. It sounds like protected souls of me. He's talking about that wrath that comes. Going upon all those who do not have this seal, who have not been confirmed steadfast. Meaning all those who are still double-minded, my brothers and sisters, still seeking to uphold some other standards still yet wise will not have this protection. Read the 9th chapter of Revelation and go along with the 7th and understand. He said, in doing that which he has asked of me, he said I would have his protection and guidance. Well, and he told me I must tell you things. The men have done everything they could. Men walking after the flesh, seeking the praise of men, seeking to beguile other men, seeking to deny the truth that they be counted wise, beguiling men after false standards, seeking to take controls of land, dividing the world, yes, even against the righteousness of him whom the scriptures call Shiloh, who is the righteous heir, Most High said he would give it to him, and unto him every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear, unto him shall all the nations gather, unto him shall they seek, because he is the heir unto whom it belongs. Most High told me I must tell you things that men have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide and not perverse, silence and destroy. The rulers want you to know there's one who will reprove all, that men might be corrected. Or did they want to put the pretense in your mind that what they taught you was already and all things sufficient? The Apostle Shaul said the same thing. I know nothing which I'm guilty, but I might not be right in this. For he says, my judge is the Lord. He says, did not call himself by any way a Lord over your faith, but he says, it's accountable for that they should be called stewards. And stewards are supposed to be faithful. He didn't say it was as if he had already attained. That means must be some growing to be ready for the gift of life. Or did you hear me? Philippians. You need to read the second and third chapters. So growing that needs to occur. Scripture even said Messiah will come saying, morning by morning, the Most High caused my ears to hear the teaching, and I'm not turning back the rebellious way, that I should know how to declare a word to the weary, and even to declare a word of salvation, my brothers and sisters, that proves foolish the wisdom of the wise. Read the 50th chapter of Isaiah and understand. About that one, the Scripture said will come saying, listen to me, O isles, and hearken to me, O you nations. Most High called me from the womb and from the body of my mother, because he made mention of my name. He said, he made his mouth like a sharp two-edged sword. He's called him the servant of Israel, through whom his glory shall be revealed. He said, through him, one whom one time walked after the vanity of this world. He said he would one day come and declare that the Most High now has become his strength. And the Most High is called to bring his people, Israel, back to him. Show them the truth beyond all the snares of illusion that have captured their minds. To bring Israel back to Yah, the truth of him, beyond every nation of lies. And yes, my brothers and sisters, even to be salvation. The converged, the one who brings about the conversion of every nation beyond every misconceit, even to the ends of the earth. Blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, who are wise enough to know that these truths are not to be disregarded. Scripture says, we scatter them on the provocations of the nations. How about nations that have resisted the truth? They were not even born upon the truth. They seek to preserve their faulty foundations. He said, we scattered. I'm talking about the book of Jacob, they call it James. He said, we scattered among the nations, among a multitude of provocations. Nations filled with unbelief, their contentions because of unbelief. He said, let us know that our faith in Yah, perseverance in him, will still bring forth the perfect work. One standard. The one standard the Most High has always called viable. He said, if any man mocks, refrains, misrepresents his truth, in any way being double-minded, he is kind of unstable. Not one trustworthy at all. He said, let not such as this think they receive anything from Yah. John Yohanan, 17:9. He said, I make no request for the world. How about I make no request for those who prefer to believe lies, who prefer to believe pretenses, who prefer to exalt false righteousness, who would maintain institutions that would speak lies. He said, make no request for the world. He said this to his father. I make no request for the world, but those who the Father has given him, who would accept, believe, uphold, defend, guard, declare the truth of his word. What do you think it meant when he says, go forth and teach all the nations? Didn't mean make that the word is supposed to be compromised after the ideals of any nation. To go forth and teach all the nations, convert all the nations, make disciples of all the nations. Say, go forth and preach the gospel, the whole word. Teach them everything you declare. That's the gospel. That's the whole word. Purity and completion offers one choice. Whoever believes and is baptized, converted, who turns aside from the impurity and pollutions of this world, the lies, he said, shall be saved, shall be made one with the righteous, shall be allowed, if you will, when the time comes, enters in the kingdom that is yet to come upon this earth. He said, those who do not believe shall be damned. What scripture say in Revelation? Thus they will keep his commandments. How about those who maintain the truth? Who abide in the truth. They shall have a right to the tree of life, and they shall enter the gates of the holy city. But without, he says, are the dogs, the beasts, those who will not reason. It's come that us reason together. If you do it kind of beastly and not rational. Come that us reason together. your sins be, but they be like scarlet. There's all so much oppression, bloodshed and warfare. But your sins be like scarlet, to be white like wool. But if you refuse and rebel, you say, I'll deliver you to the sword, for the mouth of the Most High has spoken. He says, seek his pure and perfect will. If you read Revelation 2:6-3:6. Say, those who seek his perfect will, he said, will give authority over the nations. But those who don't seek his perfect will, he said, he come against with the sword of his mouth. But he will discern by a perfect word whether man loves righteousness and will serve Yah or seek to serve the contentions of another. Yah is everything and all that he is and nothing that he is not. Who will understand for what it's really saying, my brothers and sisters? Why have the nations not taught you? Why have your pastors, priests, rabbis, elders not taught you what must come for the people be made in all things righteous, worthy unto a kingdom of truth? It's because they didn't want you to seek the truth enough, my brothers and sisters, to be saved? Is it because they wanted you to remain in bondage to their pretenses? Somehow telling you that you have license to pretend and destroy others in so doing? The righteous soul knows better. Soul that loves the truth, my brothers and sisters, knows far better. And will know to be diligent. Like the scriptures tell us in 2 Kephas, 2 Peter, first through the, around what, 10 verses or so? 10, 11 verses? Most High calls who he wills by his election unto understanding. But my believer, my brothers and sisters, the scripture says, Spirit of Yah is upon me to preach good tidings to the meek, the whole word to the meek, to release the captives, to open the eyes of the blind, to bind up the brokenhearted, is still talking to the meek and humble, not those who are so prideful, thinking they need no more. Refusing to believe that in this world of differences, that they're so wise that they have not been deceived, that there's nothing more unto which they should grow, nothing more they should learn unto the eradication of the lie. Scripture says Messiah will come for those who want to escape these illusions, to those who want to turn from this transgression. Isaiah 59:19-21, Romans 11:25-27 talks about Messiah coming in the last days to do exactly that. Who is it among us, my brothers and sisters, that will be humble enough to allow the Most High to teach them beyond the misconceits the leaders would have them to trust? As so many have been kept divisively in bondage without a covenant. To those who are willing to hear this truth, I tell you again. Website, it's called hiddengospel.com. Articles there, like the one called Early Church Origin and Mutual Expectation. Articles like the Secret City Prophecies, Gospel of Shiloh, Tribulation 7365 AD, Thoughts and Afterthoughts on Contradiction versus Diction, Remember the Promise, Woe to the Shepherds. Good places just to begin. But I tell you, my brothers and sisters, there's vast implications on everything you find on that website. Who will allow the Most High, my brothers and sisters, to show them the implications of a blessed word? Opportunity has been offered. Now, I'm going to tell you, my brothers and sisters, for those who recognize the preciousness of these words, because I tell you now, you'll find secrets there that you won't find anywhere else on the whole worldwide web. Might sound shocking. Believe me, I've searched. Believe me, I've searched. You need to ask why your leaders didn't speak these things. Prophecy said in advance they wouldn't. You need to ask why they feel their priority to deny these truths. It's time to wake up beyond the pretense, my brothers and sisters, because a pack of lies is not going to enter the kingdom of Yah. Men aren't going to be able to turn around and say, they should be forgiven because they knew not what they do. In other words, this is what I'm saying. You should have sought to know the truth for your brother's sake. That's a command. Messiah said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Meaning, he asked the Father and petitioned the Father, for those who believe in him, that he opened the doors of wisdom, that he grant men access to the truth. But he didn't say he'd grant access to the truth for those who didn't want it. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do, meant forgive them who haven't had access to the truth. Forgive them who didn't have an opportunity, that they might have opportunity, that rather than being forsaken, left without the voice, they could hear the voice. Who is it that wants to hear the truth? For the restoration and revival of a people. He says, whoever will, let him come and drink of the waters freely. But who is it, my brothers and sisters, that wants to speak no more lies, wants the preservation and no more worldly institutionality? That what the scriptures say, if you add anything to this word, you add damnation to your soul, you take anything away, you take away your eternal life. Who is it, my brothers and sisters, wants the whole word? And granted the blessing would not insult the opportunity. It's time, my brothers and sisters, this time is running short to seek that fullness. And I say to you now, my brothers and sisters, my petitions and prayers are for those who are graying the strength, courage, the wherewithal to, once being granted the opportunity to see the truth, will hold steadfast. And I say, therefore, these words, my brothers and sisters, I thank the Most High every year that he brings there. And I tell you that it's very, very wise for one to seek out the things that I've told you. Search out what I tell you on that website, what I've told you and written to you at the word and mouth of the Most High on that website.
90 seconds.
The blessed thing for those who hear these things, to uphold this truth, to support this ministry, support the words of this ministry. Blessed are they who discern. A voice the Most High is granted. Until we speak again, my brothers and sisters, this has been Eddie Miah, Recovery and Remembrance Ministries, thanking the Most High for every ear that he brings near. I thank you all for listening again to his might, to his honor, and his praise. Yes, his sovereign honor and praise and majesty always. Hallelujah!